Y'all, I missed you last week, but very much enjoyed marrying our number three son off. It's the fourth of four children I have been able to officiate at their wedding. Our granddaughter is 11 or 12 years old, and I've told the rest of the family no more weddings for at least 15 years. And the parents of the 11 or 12 years old said, how about 30 years? So. One of the things we learned today as we continue our series on the Ten Commandments, the title is Giving Honor to Whom Honor is Due. And it's a great title because it says exactly what we are to do and why. As a boy, I used to read a lot of fairy tales. And I appreciate the wisdom that is in them, especially now that I am an adult. One of Grimm's better known fairy tales is of a family with a little boy and a mom and dad and an elderly grandfather. The grandfather was feeble, his hands shook, and when he would eat at the table with the family, his silverware would often rattle against the plate. He often missed his mouth when he was trying to feed himself, and the food would spill onto the tablecloth. This greatly upset the young mother, because she did not want to have to deal with the hassle of taking care of this old man. But he had nowhere else to live. So one day, they decided that they would move him away from the table. And they would put him in a corner with a chair and a little table where he could eat and not bother the family. But you could see him sitting in the corner and he would be looking at the table. You could tell that he wanted to be with the family, but his hands growing more feeble and making more of a mess. One day, the bowl that they had given him, he was more feeble than ever, and he was trying to eat, and the bowl just fell on the floor and broke, and the father just got mad, and he said, if you're going to eat like a pig, we're going to treat you like a pig. And then just gave him a wooden trowel to eat out of without any silverware. A few days later, their son was out in the yard playing with some scraps of lumber. And the father went up to his little boy and said, what are you doing? And the little boy said, I'm making a trowel to have you eat out of when you're older. The next meal, the father was back at the table. He had silverware back, and no one ever complained about how he ate around the family. I really like that story because it teaches us in a very vivid way that how we treat our parents impacts us. It teaches us that how we respond to an authority figure in front of our children teaches our children how to respond to other parent authority figures. For example, how we respond to the policeman who stops us, and then how we talk about the policeman afterwards in front of our children teaches them how they can respond to the teachers that they have at school. How we respond to our boss and talk about our boss at home teaches our children how they can respond to our authority as parents. I don't know where Grimm got the inspiration for the fairy tale, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was from the fifth commandment that we're going to be looking at today. Let's read Exodus 20, verse 12 together. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Now, this fifth commandment sits at a crucial point in the Ten Commandments. The first four that we have studied are focusing on our relationship with God. And the next six focus on our relationship with people that flows out of our relationship with God. And this fifth commandment is significant because whenever there is a list in the Bible, whether it's a list of two or a list of 20 or whatever, the order of which the things are listed, because they're given to us by the Holy Spirit, are always significant. And by listing the desire, the command to honor our parents as the first commandment of how we are to relate to people is extremely significant. Why? Because everything we learn about relating to our parents will go on to impact how we relate to other people, no matter who they are in our life. You see, God knows that the parent-child relationship is the foundation upon which the entire society will be built. God knows that it is in the parent-child relationship that we learn not only to relate to our parents, but to anyone else we will ever meet in our life. And God knows, as we've already seen, that the way we relate to the authority of our parents determines how we relate to the authority of other individuals in our life. And that's why it's so important that we learn what it means to honor our father and mother and respond accordingly. Well, let's see what it means. And this fifth command, it means heavy. You ever, this is going to reveal my age, but way back when there was the hippies and they would go, "Heavy, man." Anybody ever remember that? Okay, you're as old as I am. Okay, but that's kind of what it means here. It means like heavy, man. Like, it is really important. The idea here that some of the words we could put in there, it means to esteem, to regard highly, to revere, to give serious attention to give a special place to in our lives. Now, I realize that this is a difficult commandment for many people today, especially if your parents have hurt you, if they've abused you, or if at some point in time, in one way or another, they walked out on you. But here's the thing. God never said, honor your parents as long as they are honorable. God never said, honor your parents as long as you live at home. God never said, honor your parents until you get married. God never even said, honor your parents as long as you want to. He simply said, honor your parents. No exceptions, no term limits. Just honor the parents that God gave us for the rest of our lives if we want to live a productive life in this land. And remember, He gave this commandment to grown men and women who had imperfect parents. And He continues to apply it to you and I today who have also had imperfect parents to one degree or another. And so that's why this morning I want to focus how we as adults can honor the parents that God gave us as He wants us to. The first thing we can see in Scripture is that we honor our parents by respecting our parents for who they are. In Ephesians chapter 6, 1 and 2, Paul repeats God's command to honor your father and mother. And the emphasis with the Greek word that he uses is the word respect. And again, it's hard for many adults to respect our parents. But nowhere does God say that respect must be earned before we can give it. It's just like many politicians today. There is an increasing disrespect that I see in the media. I'll use the example of the President of the United States. We may agree or disagree with the President, but no matter what, we should respect the office of the presidency. And that's the same thing. God wants us to respect our parents simply because they are our parents. As one person put it, if you have a belly button, that's reason enough to respect your parents. Think about it. If you have a belly button, okay? Most of us should have one. It simply means that God We would not be here unless God had enabled our parents to have us. And simply put, that's the most basic reason why we can and should honor our parents. Secondly, we honor our parents by valuing their advice. Proverbs 13:1 says this. Let's read it together. A wise son heeds his father's instruction. Now, that's all not easy for us to do because most of us, especially in our teenage years, didn't think our parents knew all that much. We thought we were a little wiser than they were. But it's amazing what happens to us when we get old enough to start having children of our own. We begin to realize that our parents may not have been as dumb as we thought they were. We realize that they may have known a little bit more. Just because we may have gone to college and they didn't make us any wiser than they are. Because now we begin to realize that there's some things in life you learn through experience. And our parents have had that experience. Now, here's a question. Does valuing our parents enough to seek their advice mean that we must obey our parents as adults? No, it does not. Nowhere in Scripture does God command a grown child to obey their parents. But it still means we value them. It still means we seek their advice out. It still means we go to them for the source and the basis of the experience that they have had in life. And when and how and where it can benefit us. It's to our benefit to seek that advice out and respect them. Just as we would do other wise counselors. The third way we can honor our parents is by showing them appreciation for all they've done for us. I like the story of the little boy. He was talking to a friend at school and he said, I'm really worried. My dad works so hard to provide for our needs. Mom takes care of us. She prepares a meal. She keeps the house clean. I'm really worried about my parents. And the boy's friend said, what are you worried about? And the boy said, I'm afraid they might try to escape. You think about it. All the things that a parent does to raise a child. The statistics now are saying that by the time you have a child and raise them to when they can go to college, it will cost you $250,000 to raise one child. Wow. I didn't realize I was a millionaire because I raised four of them. Okay? But think about it. Think of all the things a parent does. Even with their imperfections, most parents will provide clothing. Most parents will provide food. Most parents will provide the shelter over our head and the million and one things. And so we should show them our appreciation for all they've done for us. Now, how do we do that? I like God's answer in Proverbs 23:22. I may not have put that up there. It says, when your mother is old, show her your appreciation. Think about that scripture. When your mother is old, show her your appreciation. Now somebody said, why does God single out the mother? Well, simply put, in every age and every society, men die at a faster and higher rate, and usually it's the woman that's left. And so as that woman, that wife, that mother becomes a widow, we are to especially show her more and more appreciation. One of the things I've learned with Donna in senior care is that many parents feel abandoned and alone and unappreciated. And unrespected. And so that's why I would say don't wait until Mother's Day or Father's Day to call your folks or to send a card and let you know appreciate them. Do things out of the blue. Give them a call. I did not have a good relationship with my mom for about 15 or 20 years of my adult life. But it's amazing that once that we began to make that effort to reconnect, even though she lives in Albuquerque and I live here, we still now, we make that effort. We call each other every week. We email each other. One of the things that I didn't know how to handle this last weekend was having an 89-year-old mother on 4 days with us. First time she's left her home on a trip in 11 years. But I tell you one thing, it was great. Our kids rallied around her. Our future family rallied around her. It was like everyone knew that she was this 89-year-old a lady on a trip. And I tell you, it couldn't have gone any better. Because we valued her and we honored her. And what an example that set for her great-grandchildren. The fourth way we honor our parents is by taking care of their needs, especially as they age. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 4 and verses 8, these are important scriptures. Let's read them out loud. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all to put the religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents. For this is pleasing to God. If anyone does not provide for his relatives, especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Wow. Could God be any more plain in these words? And whose responsibility is it to care for the aging parents? In verse 5, it's the responsibility not only of the children, but of whom? The grandchildren. And how will the grandchildren learn that example? Through the example of the children. And so we begin to see that God is saying, you know, there's a generational aspect. Right now, many of us are in what we call the sandwich generation. We are taking care of our kids as they're coming up. And we're taking care of our parents as they're growing older. And I've heard a lot of adults in my generation say, it's not fair, I shouldn't have to do this. And God says, wow, what an opportunity you have to show how much you care. Going back to Grimm's fairy tale, that little boy's example is what counts. Years and years ago, when the abortion issue was so much before us, I heard a quote that I'll never forget. The generation that aborts their children will see their children abort their parents. Think about that. Now, if we call ourselves a Christian, plain and simple, part of our responsibility to God is to provide for our parents when and as they can no longer provide for themselves. I want to show you the next slide. It's really important. While money can be an expression of love, it can never be a substitute for love. I know many in my generation who are putting their parents into assisted living, or independent living, or whatever. And that's wonderful, if that's what's needed. But let's remember, it's not enough to take care of our parents' financial needs. Part of it means we take our children to go see their grandparents, and we do so regularly. Part of it means that we're willing to be involved in their lives. You know what one of the most radical moments in my life was about 10 years ago? My mom was about 79. And even though we were rebuilding this relationship, she called me up one day from Albuquerque and she said, Robin, I really need you to come back home. There's some things I need you to do. I'm not the world's greatest handyman. I can put a hole in a wall. In fact, I'll put about 8 or 10 holes in a wall trying to find a stud. Okay? That you kind of know where I'm at, okay? When I came home, Mom had a to-do list for me. that was literally about 25 or 30 items. But there are things like changing the light bulb in the hallway because she couldn't get up on a ladder to change it. About 20 of the 23 items on that list were things like that. I'm not handy, but I could take care of those things. This is an aside to the whole sermon. How many of us have elderly neighbors? Like my mom? How many of us maybe just need to see, knock on their door and say, by the way, do you need the light bulb in your hallway changed? When you do, just give me a call. I've got a ladder and I can come over. It'll only take a couple minutes, but my mom's living far away and I'd kind of like to treat you like I'd treat my mom. Can you imagine what would happen if Christians all across the land started treating the elderly with respect and not just letting them stay in their homes, sight unseen? I guess what I'm trying to say, for believers, it is our responsibility to take care of our parents. It is not the government's responsibility. And anytime we let it fall to the government, God plainly says, we have denied the faith and we are worse than unbelievers. The fifth way that I think we need and must honor our parents is that we are to forgive their failings. Because we live in an imperfect world, filled with imperfect people, well, Satan will do anything and everything he can to destroy the family unit. The result is that there are many of us who have been deeply hurt by our families as we grew up. I have two older brothers. When they were 16 years old, as soon as they could, they enlisted in the military because home, going to Vietnam was safer than living in our house. I've got one brother that because of the wrongs done and because of the atmosphere at home, he has not talked to my mom in almost 40 years. He refuses to. He will not forgive my mom. He's not a Christian. Mom has reached out to him time and time and time again, and he won't have anything to do with her. To be asked to forgive your parents for what they did or didn't do for you may seem like too much for you. So why would God ask us to forgive our parents? Maybe because he knows that our willingness to not forgive creates an angry, resentful spirit within us. I see that spirit within my brother, and it impacts how he treats other people than my mom. Maybe God knows that the ability to forgive our parents is what enables us to become the parents to our children that we wanted our parents to be to us. There's a lot more to biblical forgiveness than we have time to mention today. So let me just say, if you're struggling to forgive your parents, please see myself or one of the other elders in the church that we can discuss this with you so that we can show you God's grace and how you can move on in that relationship. Before I end this fifth commandment, there's one thing I need to bring to your attention. This is the only one of the Ten Commandments that is repeated in Scripture with a promise attached to it. Let's read that promise again in verse 12. Honor your father and mother, and here's the reason, the promise, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Now, while this promise was given to the Jewish nation, it still applies to us today. A nation whose children are raised to honor their parents will be a better nation as those children become grown adults who honor and respect other authority figures as well. Our teachers, our coaches, our policemen, our government. We've all seen some of the stories out of Baltimore recently. Maybe you've heard about Chicago and all the shootings they experienced last weekend. Whether it's black or white or brown or green or blue, the color doesn't matter. But what matters is we are seeing a generation of young men growing up without a father. And as a result, we're seeing a generation that is increasingly turning against the authority figures whenever they are presented in their lives. Why did God give us this commandment? Because it still makes sense today. If we teach our children to honor their parents based on the example they see in us, the entire nation benefits. And that's why we will live longer in the land that God has provided to us. If you want to see a great example of this, a story that I came across, the story of a rabbi who was seated next to an atheist on a plane flight. Every few minutes, one of the rabbi's children or grandchildren would lean across the aisle or kind of from behind and say, "Grandpa, do you need anything? Grandpa, are you doing okay? Grandpa, can I get something for you?" After several times of seeing this, the atheist who was seated next to the Jewish rabbi, the atheist said, "The respect that your children and grandchildren show you is wonderful. My children and grandchildren do not show me that respect." And the rabbi replied, "Maybe that is because to my children and grandchildren, I am one step closer to the God who created us, and they treat me accordingly. To your children and grandchildren, you are one step closer to the ape from whom you descended, and they treat you accordingly." Wow. A powerful teaching. I love it because it shows us in a positive way that this fifth commandment is still relevant and practical and wise for us today. And that's why we need to teach and obey this fifth commandment as Christians, even though we do not live in Israel so long ago. So take this fifth commandment to heart. Think about how it applies to each one of us. Think about how we as adult children can honor our mother and our father and the example it sets for our children, our grandchildren, and the way we want to be treated when we become as old as our parents. Let's pray. Father, wow, what a commandment. What wisdom, what practicality, and yet so tough. Help us to reestablish a culture where the elderly are valued. Let it begin in each one of our individual families. For those of us who still have parents, whether they be both alive or one, may this message and your spirit cause us to think twice about what we can do to better honor this commandment. And where we have failed to do so, please forgive us of our sin. Show us ways that we can bridge that gap, that we can reach out, that we can show appreciation, that we can provide, that we can give respect, and that we can learn to forgive the imperfections of our parents. Thank you, Father, for this commandment because of how it strikes home to every person in this room. We ask in your Son's name. Honor your father and mother. It's no accident that God is called our Father, and we are to honor and respect Him as well. One of the best ways we can do that, if you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you are looking for a church to call home and you found something here in Babcock Road that is appealing to you, we encourage you to come forward as we sing this decision song and make that known to us. Will you stand as Jeff leads us in this invitation message?